What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I am back from my little getaway last week in Phoenix, and I gotta say, had a good time. Got some great weed over there in Phoenix, but most importantly, I got some work done in the studio for some new music I'm going to be releasing here. Don't know when, but that's just how it goes. But we did have a lot going on while I was gone, so let's get right into it. This week, the AP Top 10 for college football rankings has officially been released. You know, I went over the coaches' Top 10 last show, and, you know, it's almost pretty identical with the AP. The coaches' poll is not as official as the AP Top 10. The AP Top 10 is basically what it is. These are just the official rankings. But those were released this week, and guess what, motherfuckers? Texas Longhorns, number one ranked team right now. Hook 'em horns, motherfucker. Hook 'em horns, hook 'em horns. Only a couple of weeks until college football season kicks off. So number one, Texas Longhorns. Number two, Penn State. Number three, Ohio State. Number four, Clemson. Number five, Georgia. Number six, Notre Dame. Number seven, Oregon. Number eight, Alabama. Number nine, LSU. And number 10, the U, Miami. So like I said, the Longhorns kick off the college football season up against Ohio State. So it's going to be number one versus number three. So right out the gate, we have us a great matchup. But these are the official rankings, y'all. And Texas, number one. Let's see if they can live up to it, because those are high expectations, and there's a long season. And to start it off against Ohio State, that's always a big deal, because this is a good team, and you don't want to start your season off with a loss, because in college football, it is much different. You know, in pro football, if you suffer some losses, it may or may not cost you in the end. You could always have a chance, even if you got something like five or six losses. But in college football, when you have one loss, it is a big deal. And then once you get up into the two losses, three losses, it could really cost you, especially in the college football playoff rankings. Yes, it's great to be ranked number one right now, but we are the top dogs, and everybody's going to be looking at us. And if we lay an egg against Ohio State right out the gate, could drop all the way down to number 10 or even further. So we'll see what happens, but only a couple more weeks until college football kicks off. All right, moving on to baseball. In the week of baseball, we had a whole lot going on this week and a lot of movement in the divisions. We actually have some new division leaders right now. And since we're about a month-ish away from the baseball playoffs beginning, every single Friday now I'm going to do a rundown of the divisions and the wild cards, just so we can figure out what's going on and how the playoff picture is going to be turning out, because we've got about a month left of the regular season. And this is the stretch right here. This is the stretch, the home stretch. And if you play your best baseball now, that's when you really want to play your best baseball. It's coming up this month, headed into September and October. So let's begin on Monday. And the team that just cannot be stopped, and they have been the hottest team, especially since the All-Star break, but they've been playing solid baseball all season long. And while it's early, I feel like at this point in time, we can no longer overlook this team, and that is the Milwaukee Brewers. They got a big win over the Pittsburgh Pirates, 7-1 on Monday, and secured their second 10-game winning streak of the season. Christian Yelich had a solid game, went 2-for-4 with the home run. Jose Quintana, he pitched his out of his mind in this one. I mean, they weren't even able to score on him in this one. So the Brewers got their second 10-game winning streak in a row. Then in a crazy game between the Texas Rangers and the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Rangers got the win in the 10th inning, 7-6, with Berger getting the walk-off single. But man, this was back and forth. Once Arizona got the lead, then Texas is like, nah, we got the lead, and it just went all the way back and forth. That's why I went to the 10th inning, and then just boom, Texas was able to take advantage and get the win in this one. Then on Tuesday, the New York Mets got the win over the Atlanta Braves, 13-5. But the major news in this one is Pete Alonso became the all-time home run leader for the New York Mets. He smashed actually two home runs in this game to get him to 254 career home runs. And the all-time leader as the New York Mets for New York Mets home runs. Like, that is just an amazing feat to have. He went 3-for-5, two home runs, three RBI on the night. But that's just huge right there. And I kind of feel like that's probably Hall of Fame worthy as well. That probably cements his legacy in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Alonso still has quite the career to go, but to be the all-time leader in home runs for the New York Mets, a stellar organization, that's just that's just great right there. And then speaking of the Milwaukee Brewers, they smashed the Pittsburgh Pirates on Tuesday, 14-0. And not only did they smash the Pirates, but they blew up Paul Skeens, which is something you don't really hear because, you know, Skeens, one of the top pitchers in the league, he is so difficult to score on. Well, the Brewers had zero issues. They scored 14 runs, like I said. This is their 11th win in a row. Peralta had a great game, 6 innings pitched with 7 strikeouts. Yelich had yet another home run. Obviously, everybody was scoring runs, though, in this game, and Milwaukee keeps it moving. Then also, the Los Angeles Angels, they took out the Dodgers 7-6. They went to the 10th inning in this one. Adele actually had the game-winning single, the walk-off single to get this one winning, but the Dodgers, they are not playing good baseball at all. The past 2 weeks have been a huge struggle for them, and wait till we get around to what we're talking about in the division here, because they got swept by the Angels this week, and that's pretty bad. Then on Wednesday, stop me if you've heard me talk about this team, the Milwaukee Brewers beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 12-5. That puts them at 12 wins in a row on the season. By the way, the Brewers have the best record in the league right now. They have 76 wins on the season. Sal Frelick in this game, he went 2-for-3, 2 RBI. As a matter of fact, he has been hot this second half. They called him up last year, and it kind of felt like he struggled along up until the second half. And now this guy has been on fire. He has been right in with this team. And like I said, 12-game winning streak for the Milwaukee Brewers, the best team in baseball right now. And then San Diego Padres on Wednesday also took out my San Francisco Giants 11-1. But the big news in this win for the San Diego Padres is that they took over the division lead. Because, like I said, the Dodgers are losing it up right now. They are sucking it up. But the Padres, completely opposite right now. They got the win. And they have taken over the division lead. Nick Pivetta pitched in this one. He went 6.2 innings, 5 strikeouts. So he continues his dominating season. So let's break it down and see where everybody's at for the playoffs right now. In the National League, like I said, the top team in the league right now, leading their division in the National League Central, the Milwaukee Brewers. Not only are they the top team in the league and this division, but they now hold an 8-game lead over the Chicago Cubs. I mean, the Cubs have been dominating this division from the jump, but then the Brewers, they go on these couple of winning streaks here, and now here they are, and the Brewers have a chokehold on this division that looked like it was the Cubs to win, and now it's... they're going to be lucky if they win this one. Then in the National League West, right now the Padres hold a 1-game lead over the Dodgers, so we'll see what happens there. But the Dodgers have not been playing good baseball at all. The Padres, on the other hand, they are having zero issues scoring runs. They're playing great on the defensive side. Their starting pitchers are doing well. They did lose Michael King. He's going to be on the injured list for a couple of weeks here, so that's a blow to their starting pitching lineup. But the Dodgers, like I said, not playing well. So if the Dodgers keep playing the way they are, bye-bye. San Diego takes this division. And then in the National League East right now, the Phillies have a 5-game lead over the Mets because the Mets are also on the struggle bus right now. They just cannot get it going. It's like they get a win, but then they get a couple of losses. Get a win, get a couple of losses. They just cannot catch up. But the Phillies, on the other hand, even though they've had their struggles at times, they are playing a lot more consistent baseball and looking really solid right now. And then the National League wild card right now, the Chicago Cubs, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the New York Mets are the top three teams right now for the wild card. And moving on to the American League East right now, the Toronto Blue Jays hold a 5-game lead over the Boston Red Sox. Then in the American League Central, the Detroit Tigers still hold their lead as well. They have a 6.5-game lead over the Cleveland Guardians. And in the West, the American League West is starting to heat up. The Houston Astros still hold the top dog spot in their division, but only by 1.5 over the Seattle Mariners, who are starting to go streaking right now. So we'll see. Houston's suffering through some injuries. Is Seattle going to be able to take advantage of that and get going here on a nice little winning streak, which they have? If they keep playing some consistent baseball and the Astros keep losing, they might be able to overtake this division. And then the American League wild card spots right now, we've got the Seattle Mariners, the Boston Red Sox, and the New York Yankees are the top three spots right now in the wild card. All right, moving on to my top 10 list this week. We are moving on with this MLB GOATs list of mine. This week it's going to be top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s. And, you know, this is right in my wheelhouse because this is really just baseball that is just stuck in my head. So it was kind of difficult to get this going. I mean, to really say, I actually did have, there were a couple of guys, especially in the top five, where I was like, damn, how do I do this? And then there, of course, there's a couple of guys who made the 1990s list. And now here they are. They're going to be back. They're here on the 2000s list as well. A little bit lower because some of them, they dominated more in the 90s than they did in the 2000s. But number one to me wasn't really difficult because I feel like he was front and center for this entire era. But we'll get there when we get there. So let's begin with number 10 on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s. Todd Helton played first base for the Colorado Rockies from 1997 to 2013. Career numbers of batting average of .316, 2,519 hits, 369 home runs, and 1,406 RBI. I mean, if you want to talk about the face of the Colorado Rockies for probably from his entire career from 97 to 2013, he was the dude. I mean, he was always consistent. No matter how good or bad the Rockies were, dude showed up every single time. He's a three-time Gold Glove Award winner, won a Gold Glove in 2001, 2002, and 2004. That's the thing about him. You know, he was a great hitter, but he was also an excellent first baseman as well. He just was so great on the defensive side of the ball, and you just really couldn't get it past him. But then, of course, he's a four-time Silver Slugger Award winner, won four straight from 2000 to 2003. And like I said, just the face of this Rockies organization at the time, you just knew. It didn't matter if the Rockies were the worst team in the league or if they were actually a competitive baseball team. He was showing up. He was always a bright spot on this team. And I, as a San Francisco Giants fan, I saw Todd Helton a lot. Every time this dude came up to bat, you just knew there was a good chance that shit was going out of the park or he was just getting on base. He was just an excellent hitter and a great first baseman. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s, Joe Mauer played catcher with the Minnesota Twins from 2004 to 2018. Career numbers of batting average .306, 2,123 hits, 143 home runs, and 923 RBI. He won the MVP in 2009, three-time Gold Glove Award winner from 2008 to 2010, so won three in a row, five-time Silver Slugger Award winner 2006, 2008, 2009, 2010, and 2013, three-time batting champion in 2006, 2008, and 2009, and really just one of the most consistent catchers we ever had. He was another dude, just like Todd Helton. It didn't matter how good or bad the Minnesota Twins were. This dude came to play each and every game. He always showed up. And really, the unfortunate thing about Joe Mauer is the thing that took him out of the game were injuries, because this dude was lights out every single year he played unless he was injured. Dude was just a fantastic catcher and definitely one of the GOATs of this era. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s, Johan Santana played starting pitcher with the Minnesota Twins from 2000 to 2007, then with the New York Mets from 2008 to 2012. His career numbers, 139 wins, 78 losses, a 320 ERA, and 1,988 strikeouts. He won the Cy Young Award twice in 2004 and 2006. He was a Triple Crown Award winner in 2006. He also threw a no-hitter on June 1st of 2012. And just one of the most dominating pitchers of this era. You knew if Johan Santana was coming out to on that mound, it was going to be slim pickings to get on base. And if you got on base, you better make sure you score at least one run, because this dude is not giving it up. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s, Ryan Howard played first base with the Philadelphia Phillies his entire career from 2004 to 2016. His career numbers, .258 batting average, 382 home runs, 1,194 RBI. And talking about the face of an organization, this is another dude who was the face of the Philadelphia Phillies for his entire fucking career. This guy was a monster. I loved Ryan Howard, as a matter of fact. He is one of my favorite players to watch. Just every time he would come up to bat, it was almost always going out of the park. And he just showed up. every single game. He won a championship in 2008, MVP in 2006, Rookie of the Year in 2005. So that just tells you how good he was right out the gate. Rookie of the Year in 05, then won MVP his second year in the league. He also won the NLCS MVP in 2009. So he always showed up, not only in the regular season, but in the playoffs. Ryan Howard was one of the most consistent dudes when the Phillies went to the playoffs because he was there. He just was one of the best players. I really thoroughly enjoyed the career of Ryan Howard. The number six on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s, Pedro Martinez. Yep, he was on the 1990s list. But of course, you know, this dude dominated his entire career. Starting pitcher with the Dodgers, the Montreal Expos, the Red Sox, the New York Mets, and the Philadelphia Phillies from 1992 to 2009. Career numbers, 219 wins, 100 losses, 293 ERA, and 3,154 strikeouts. Won a championship in 2004, three-time Cy Young Award winner in 97, 99, and 2000, and won a Triple Crown in 1999. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s, another guy who was on the last list, Randy Johnson, starting pitcher with the Montreal Expos, Seattle Mariners, Houston Astros, Arizona Diamondbacks, New York Yankees, and San Francisco Giants from 1988 to 2009. Career numbers, 303 wins, 166 losses, 329 ERA, and 4,875 strikeouts. He won a championship in 2001, five-time Cy Young Award winner in 95, and then won four straight from 1999 to 2002. Also is a Triple Crown Award winner in 2002. Pitched the perfect game May 18th of 2004 and pitched a no-hitter on June 2nd of 1990. Then at number four in my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s. Now, this is where it really got convoluted for me. There are two players, three and four here. I really went back and forth, and I decided to bump up who number three is above this guy. And so at number four, I have Alex Rodriguez, played shortstop and third base with the Seattle Mariners from 1994 to 2000, the Texas Rangers to 2000 to 2003, and then the New York Yankees from 2004 to 2016. His career numbers, batting average of 295, 3,115 hits, 696 home runs, and 2,086 RBI. He won a championship in 2009. He is a three-time MVP in 2003, 2005, 2007. Two-time Gold Glove Award winner in 2002 and 2003. 10-time Silver Slugger Award winner in 96. And then won a few straight from 98 to 2003, then 2005, 2007, and 2008. Now, the only reason why I put number three above Alex Rodriguez is because Alex Rodriguez, I'll tell you this straight up, not that great when it came to the postseason. He was a very, very solid player, very consistent his entire career. But man, when it came to the postseason, he pretty much almost always disappeared. There was one year, it might have been the championship year, but there was one year where he actually had a very, very solid outing. But other than that, Alex Rodriguez pretty much disappeared during the postseason. And that's why I put the edge of number three above Rodriguez. And number three on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s is David Ortiz. Because you gotta, you know, I really thought about it. Because since I watched the 2000s era religiously, I look at it and I go, David Ortiz's impact on the Boston Red Sox way much more impactful than Alex Rodriguez. Because, I mean, first of all, when Alex Rodriguez was with the Yankees, for example, you know, when he was with the Mariners and the Rangers, he was the dude. But then when he went to the Yankees, I mean, come on, he couldn't play shortstop because Derek Jeter was already playing shortstop. So he had to move to third base for that. And he wasn't the face of the Yankees. Derek Jeter was the face of the Yankees. I mean, for Christ's sake, you could probably put, like, Andy Pettit and Roger Clemens and even Jorge Posada over Alex Rodriguez as faces of the Yankees. I mean, like I said, him kind of disappearing in the postseason, that's really why I put Ortiz above him, because David Ortiz, let me tell you, that dude showed up every single fucking time. David Ortiz played designated hitter with the Minnesota Twins from 1997 to 2002 and the Boston Red Sox from 2003 to 2016. Now, like I said, for me, David Ortiz was the face of this Red Sox organization, but also a huge prominent figure in the league at the time. Career batting average of 286, 2,472 career hits, 541 home runs, and 1,768 RBI. He is a three-time champion. That's also what put him above Alex Rodriguez in this category. He won a championship with the Red Sox in 04, 07, and 13. He's a seven-time Silver Slugger Award winner from 2004 to 2007, 11, 13, and 16. And just to me, like I said, you know, Big Poppy, he was just the face of the Red Sox at that time. I mean, they had a lot of dudes who everybody loved on this team, but I would actually go out on a limb and say that David Ortiz is probably one of the most popular Red Sox, if not the most popular Red Sox of all time. And he proved it. I mean, the dude came up to bat and you knew the guy was hitting it out of the park. And like I said, his postseason, dude showed up every single time. You never had to worry about whether or not David Ortiz was going to show up. And it was kind of the opposite with Alex Rodriguez. So that's why I put Ortiz above Rodriguez on this list. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s, Barry Bonds. He was on my last list. Now, he was actually number one on my last list. But to me, number one was very easy for the 2000s era. But Barry Bonds, of course, played left field with the Pittsburgh Pirates from 1986 to 1992. Then with the San Francisco Giants from 1993 to 2007. Career batting average of 298, 2,935 hits, 762 home runs, and 1,996 RBI, and 514 stolen bases. He's a seven-time MVP, 1990, 92, 93, and then 2001 to 2004, eight-time Gold Glove Award winner, and 12-time Silver Slugger Award winner. Some of the records that he still currently holds, 762 career home runs, 73 home runs in one season, 2,558 bases on balls, 232 bases on balls in a single season, and 609 on-base percentage in a single season. Those are all the records that Barry Bonds holds. But at number one on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s, like I said, this was very easy for me because in my personal opinion, this was the face of the league in the 2000s. And this is another guy who really only fell off because of injuries, and that is Albert Pujols. Played first base with the St. Louis Cardinals from 2001 to 2011, and then with the Los Angeles Angels from 2012 to 2021. And then also played, he played a year with the Dodgers, and then he ended his career with the St. Louis Cardinals, thankfully. But his career numbers, batting average 296, 3,384 hits, 703 home runs. So, you know, he's eclipsed that 700 mark. So that just puts you in a whole, other level of hitters in the league. Then 2,218 RBI. He is a two-time champion, won championships in 2006 and 2011. Honestly, that is why I put him above Barry Bonds, because I struggled with this because Barry, he did dominate the 90s and the 2000s almost equally. If you really look at his numbers, it's pretty equal. But I looked at Pujols and I'm just like, you know, he really was the face of the league. He really was. But those two championships, they really put you in a whole, they give you something else. They really do. And he was a huge part of those championships as well. He is a three-time MVP, 2005, 2008, and 2009. He won Rookie of the Year in 2001. He's a two-time Gold Glove Award winner in 2006 and 2010. I mean, that's the thing about Albert Pujols. You know, we all know him for knocking it out of the park, but he also was an excellent first baseman, and that's why he won those couple of Gold Glove Awards. And then he's also a six-time Silver Slug Award winner, 2001, 03, 04, and then from 08, 09, and 2010. So my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 2000s, number 10, Todd Helton, number 9, Joe Mauer, number 8, Johan Santana, number 7, Ryan Howard, number 6, Pedro Martinez, number 5, Randy Johnson, number 4, Alex Rodriguez, number 3, David Ortiz, number 2, Barry Bonds, and number 1, Albert Pujols. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.